Commission is back in session. I'm going to hear item eight, Mark Brown. Mr. Stagg, are you handling that?
I am, again.
You'll have a long day before it's over with.
Long enough already, hadn't it?
Oh, no, not long.
This one won't take too long. As you may recall, those of you who are here, I think most of you, this is a continuation of the request by Mark Brown to research the ground at the mouth of the Pagan River in Allegheny County. At the June meeting, there was some discussion about the Army Corps and Coast Guard's concerns about leaking Basin 2 federal project panels, and the Commission's action at that time requested me to consult with both those entities and come back with you on their requests and or recommendations for us. We have completed that process. Gave me 60 days, and we hit the 60-day target, so we're back since the June meeting. Your packet has a new short evaluation, and attached directly behind that is the original evaluation. I'm certainly not going to go through that again. But just very quickly, there was an application received from Mr. Brown to lease approximately 18 acres along the north side of a federal project channel at the confluence of the Pagan River and the James River offshore Godwin Point in Olive County. We went over some of the issues last month concerning the application. This is what we took, believing that this would be outside the channel footprint, but it was contingent upon actually surveying it in the field. And when we did, we located the existing markers as they're currently set, and that resulted in the lease being, we could not make it a contiguous lease from the east to the west, because this line, this lease actually is outside the channel area, so it would preclude that from being contiguous. And we don't believe leasing an area this narrow would be a good idea. So our proposal was to recommend leasing this area and this area, and it would be a separate plat charge for the second plat, and survey fee would cover the plat. These distances were distances of the width of the lease at the marker from here over to the next lease. This was a distance from striking a line between the markers to the existing leases, which you can see was only 12 feet. And, of course, here it actually crosses the line and cuts it off. These lines depict the actual federal project channel. That's the actual dredge area. It would be dredged, the Corps dredged any of these sections. So the issue came down to, you know, what would the Corps and the Coast Guard say about how close would they prefer that we come to their channel. I did meet, I talked to the Coast Guard a number of times by email and phone, Albert Grimes, who's with their navigation division, and met at the Corps office with a number of parties with the Army Corps. And I'm going to give you what they recommended and then what staff believes is appropriate on the staff level related to those recommendations. The Coast Guard, in conversations with them, indicated that they are the body that actually sets and maintains the markers in conjunction with the Corps for federal project channels. They basically set them pretty much where the Corps indicates the project channel they should be set, which is usually outside, considerably outside the actual dredge area. And they coordinate with the Corps if there's a shoaling where they have to set an emergency marker. In your packet is a sheet that they provided me. It is item. It has a picture of the chart and then a list of the markers from the mouth going up a ways beyond where this application is. The dates you see written in there were written in by Mr. Grimes. They indicate the last time the marker was, some kind of work was done on the marker. The markers that are pertinent to this application are 3, 4, 2, 4, and 6. And as you can see, a couple of those were either relocated or some type of maintenance was done on them in the 2000s. And some of the others basically have not moved since the original line. The other recommendation from the Coast Guard was, and this is just a recommendation and not a requirement, was they would prefer that we not lease within 250-foot radius of any marker on any federal property. As you can see here, it's pretty problematic. And this distance is 64 feet. 250 feet would put you, you know, in a circle something like this. Now, the rationale for that is when they do have to reset one of these, they sometimes have to bring a barge out with spud anchors. And preferably, if they don't want to spud right in the channel, they'll spud to one side or the other. And obviously, if they spudded down over here, it would be on someone's lease. And there's some, you know, potential liability. I'm not sure how you would sue the federal government, but, you know, they would prefer to have a big buffer area.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Albert Grimes about it and told him, you know, realistically, we have historically leased, you know, up to and along the channel markers all over the state. And if we went back, which we wouldn't do, but even in the future, if we excluded this large of an area around every marker, the amount of area that's pretty valuable oyster ground would be considerable. But we certainly still work with the Coast Guard on a case-by-case basis. We got an application. It was a problematic marker that they had routinely go out and reset for some reason. That was really the only recommendation. They pretty much deferred anything else to the Army Corps related to the federal project channel. Also, in your packet is a list from the Corps, which is item 3, that they sent me by email after our meetings. And I believe the most important one is number 1, which basically says the geometry of the proposed lease is fine with respect to the position relative to the federal channel. That is specific to this application and staff's recommendation.
And when they say proposed lease, are they this configuration?
Okay. And said they were okay with staff's recommendation to lease, you know, right up to the marker, but not the channel. Now, their second request was that we prohibit oyster dredging within 85 feet of the total channel. Well, this is the closest we get to the actual channel, 96 feet, the alignment we're proposing. At this location, it's 146 feet. So while they said that the alignment was fine, this verifies that it also meets their criteria. Now, their distance off the channel varies on what they would like to see based on the width of the channel and the depth of the channel. Obviously, in an area like Tribal Shoals, where it's a shipping channel, the depth is much greater than this, the channel is wider than this, and the distance might be greater than 85 feet. But this particular channel, this would be a Recommendations 3, 4, and 5. 3, I'll let you read that. I thought you might get a chuckle out of it. I did. The way I interpret it is basically they said, if we do lease anywhere near their channel, they would like for us to make some kind of condition on the leasee that they do a pre-dredge and a post-dredge, this is oyster dredging,
yes,
survey of the bottom to determine whether they changed the contour of the bottom was changed. Not really sure they understand exactly what oyster dredging is at the core, but I hope they do. But we believe that oyster dredging doesn't usually materially affect the bottom contour. You're not really dredging material and hauling it away like the Corps does for a channel. They're just scraping through the bottom, picking up oyster shell and oysters, and the material just falls out of the dredge as they're dredging. We obviously, at staff level, don't think we could support that condition. The cost to a leaseholder to do that on a daily basis would be astronomical. If we could work some, well, if they dredge for 2 weeks, you know, they do a post, pre, and post, still seems, you know, beyond the scope of what Motion Water might be capable of doing, and you'd have to hire a company, and it would just be beyond the scope, I think, of what's reasonable. Number four, you know, we did coordinate on this one with the Coast Guard. The fifth requirement, which I will read, the applicant shall sign a waiver that he will not object nor attempt to interfere with the continued maintenance dredging of a federal project. The Corps has asked for this before in other dredge projects, and we have historically taken the stance that we don't put permit conditions, because these are leases, they're not permits. And legal counsel may be able to address it. I'm not sure legally, because this is a chattel real, and they leased this bottom from the state for the purpose of oyster grounds, whether we could even put some kind of condition like that on a lease. But we don't recommend
it. Answer that. You have an answer?
Yeah, I mean, I can respond to that. I mean, as long as we're not taking anything away from an existing lease, we can put conditions on new leases, because it's ours to the bottom land is ours to convey. So it's legally permissible, whether it's a good idea under policy or if there's some other aspect of law I'm not aware of at the moment. You know, generally speaking, we should be able to put conditions on new leases.
Our position has been that we try to avoid that. And the problem is the lease is transferable, and certainly if we put this note on a plat, you know, to the original leasee, it could transfer to the future leasee, but future leasee, you know, might not be aware of that when he's purchasing the ground from the other leasee, and we might have to remind him, and it just gets complicated.
Yeah, I'm not requiring it, I'm just saying you could.
Right. We feel the Corps has the right to do this, and has done this in the past, directly with the leasee, potential leaseholder. They've gone to the leaseholders, this happened in the Cryville Shoal area, and asked them if they'd be willing to go into an agreement with the Corps that they would not ever object to dredging of the federal project channel adjacent to their lease, you know, related to any siltation or problems from the dredging, and has entered into those agreements separately with the leaseholder, which we don't have any problem with. And the incentive is, the Corps says, we will object to the lease, and we'll be here before the commission, with the Corps opposing the lease, versus the Corps says, we won't object to your lease if you sign this release with us. And that seems to have worked well so far. So again, we would not recommend putting a permit condition or a lease condition of that nature. And as I say in the evaluation, we certainly have told the Corps and the Coast Guard, and I'm sure the commission will agree, that we are always willing to work on a case-by-case lease application basis with the Coast Guard or if there is an issue related to an application basis. But having said that, we believe our staff recommendation from June is still valid. We have historically tried not to lease inside of the existing channel markers, albeit we could do once the lease exists. Happened even with Pagan to a small degree, but that we believe that setting any kind of a marker inside of the official aid and navigation marker creates two problems. There's a confusion to the navigating public. If they see the navigation marker, but now there's a potential hazard in navigation inside that marked area, and the possibility of hitting it, particularly at night, you know, non-lit areas, throw some liability back onto the leaseholder, which we don't particularly want to see as well. So setting markers inside a marked channel seems to us to be, you know, not a good idea from a navigation perspective, and certainly not from a liability perspective to the leaseholder. So our continued recommendation is, should Mr. Brown wish to lease the two areas as split, and I'll remind you, is the reason he wanted to get this was as contiguous was he could then dredge it, the dredge permit. So he had at least 3 acres or more to get a dredge permit. So as staff's recommending it, he could dredge this area if assigned. This area he could only hand tong, not dredge it, because he did not have any adjacent ground to it. And that would be his choice if you approve both. vacant. Mr. Gay, who opposed the application, was here in June. I spoke to him this morning. He could not be here today. He works at Volvo Penta, and they had two people on vacation, and they only have four people. And he said he just didn't feel like he could leave. He remains opposed to even this configuration. Should you approve this and Mr. Brown not opt to get the 1.54, this would be vacant. Mr. Gay could apply for it. He could add it into his existing lease, and he could dredge it. Anyone else could apply for it, Mr. Brown declines, but no one else could dredge it except Gay by adding it to a lease. It would still be a handful.
And did you say Mr. Gay is opposed to even the staff recommendation?
Yes. I think he's opposed to this part of it.
Okay.
Because it's adjacent to his ground, and you remember there was a conversation between Mr. Brown and Mr. Gay at the meeting, but the flip side of that is this has been vacant for a long time, and Mr. Gay could have applied for it at any time.
Well, that was my next question. How long has it been vacant? For
a long time.
For a long time. So.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why we recommend, just the fact that he's objected with no real good reason that we can see, other than he wished he had it, that's not usually a reason to don't lease ground.
I think you answered all the questions the commission had 2 months ago, but there may be some others. Mr. Fox?
Remind me what this property is here. That's
a piece of public ground.
Public ground, okay.
Can be worked during the public season.
Other questions?
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
Make sure the record's clear in case there's an appeal. Mr. Stagg, you'd mentioned that the piece that would have made these pieces contiguous, the commission didn't, or the staff didn't think it was a good idea to lease it out. Can you just succinctly tell me why?
Why we wouldn't lease this?
Yeah, why it's a bad idea. Just in case somebody appeals it, I want to have a basis on the record.
Well, if this had been contiguous, in theory it would have been leasable as one lease.
Right.
I'm not sure we could have recommended it as narrow as it would have turned out to be, even if there was a gap here. Problem is, how would you dredge this? How could you physically dredge this with a dredge boat and not cross onto someone else's ground or out into the channel?
Okay.
So that's, at the time we took the application, we go back to this. I mean, this is a lot wider than what it turned out to be. There was no gap here. We thought this might be wide enough to dredge this entire area, but when we actually located the channel markers, this line got shoved, all the way back to here, and just made this so narrow that we try not to do spaghetti leases.
And this would be one of those.
How close then does that gap close?
It's pretty tight, but right here it's about 3 or 4 feet.
Okay.
Crossing. Not between the channel marker. If you strike a line between the channel markers,
we'll hear from you in a minute.
Yeah, like 30 to 40 feet, the way it's drawn here.
Yep.
That's not the way it turned out.
And just, I'm sorry.
All right. Any other questions? Take it.
Yes, sir. In the geometry of the proposed lease, they talk about, with regard to the Coast Guard, prohibits dredging from within 85 foot of the toe of the Federal Navigation Channel, correct? So that gives him a little more leeway than the 96 we have now, correct?
That is correct.
So then if you add it on the couple feet you just spoke of in the narrow choke point, which was 2 to 3,
right,
you'd end up with...
there would be a gap there.
15 feet, maybe 14 feet.
The problem
is that, which you concur with that math?
Yes, I agree with that. And I think that's what Mr. Brown will tell you. From staff's perspective, our policy has been to not go inside the marked channel. And here, the marked channel is the line between those two channel markers. And if we set a stake 15 feet inside of that, it is inside the marked channel area. It is a stake inside the area marked for traversing.
All
that raises the issue of navigation and hazard and liability.
Any other questions? All right, Mr. Brown.
Yes.
I'll give you a few minutes to respond to the new information that you've heard.
Yeah, that's fine.
Could you state your name first?
My name is
Let me swear you in, too. I keep forgetting to do that.
I do.
You swear. I quiet. Now you got me laughing. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
State your name, please.
Your name for the record, please.
Mark Brown. On this drawing here, the original drawing on the application that I applied for, y'all all know that I've been in before and explained my case. It was to make it all one continuous piece because of this. The triangle piece that joins the public is about 1.5, 1.75 acres. And that's dredgeable. That's plenty dredgeable. And the reason that I wanted all one piece was so when I got my permit to work my grounds, like I got on all my other grounds, that I could dredge that one piece on that other end and I could dredge on the other end. So when I applied for the ground, the original application, Ben showed you all that. It was considerably wider than it is now. And then since Ben has told me, and he has gone back and revised it in the application that what staff recommends separates the piece. However, from what the Corps has told him, Ben's got 96 feet from what he has right now. From what he has showed you all, he's got 96 feet. All right? He's telling me that I can be 85 feet from the toe of that channel and the Corps doesn't have a problem with it. So that gives me 11 feet from that mark where it says 96. That's back channel. All right, if you take that 11 feet and then it's 145 feet on its other end. Now, I don't have a calculator. I have to have a calculator to do that kind of math. But that's a considerably longer space. That makes the ground back more to the original application that I had applied for. And that gives me what I want as far as one continuous piece of ground so I can work that in. You got one of them little. This one on.
If it works.
The oyster rock that I want to work dredge is right in here like this. And then the other one is right in here like this, which runs on down here to this. This piece here, there's a few oysters along in here, but what I'm trying to explain to y'all, during the public season, this all this vacant bottom that has not been taken in from the Baylor survey, we can work. And you have a hand scrape permit, and then you're subject to getting culled by the DMR, by the Marine Patrol officers. But all of that is how I found these oysters was during oyster season. In other words, the public oyster season was then, and I found these oysters then the last several years. And that's why I've applied for it. Since I found out that it was vacant bottom and I could apply for it and have it for my own, that's what I intended on doing. So that's how I found these oysters. Like I said, the oysters are right in here, but I got to have 3 acres, and if he cuts it back to that and doesn't make it one continuous, if he gives me 11 feet, which the Corps is willing to give me, if he gives me that 11 feet on the end of that ground and makes it wide enough to make that all one piece, you know, that gives me what I want. And I mean, that's all I've asked for from the beginning. I mean, as far as y'all talking about dredging and stuff like that, that place gets dredged when the public season's not in. That channel gets dredged. This individual here, His ground is marked and it's in the channel. As you can see, that's where the channel line is from that mark to that mark. All right? That piece of ground there, that corner there is stuck all the time. Nobody's had a problem with the navigation on that ground being stuck. There's ground at the DMRC that Mr. Butler has stuck up in Smithfield recently since this has been applied for. And according to the standards that I was told by, that's stuck in the channel, up in the Pagan River. And ain't nobody had a complaint about that. And I think It's a withdrawal. It's an application that was put in recently, and they have recently surveyed and stuck that. And that pole was in the middle of town going up Smithfield, and ain't nobody said a word. So I know that it's just, evidently that this being stuck up must be just applying to me. But I mean, what I'm saying is, if he gives me this 11 feet that I'm allowed from the Corps, now I know y'all still got to discuss it, but if he gives me that 11 feet and you give me just enough on the other end, it makes it all one continuous piece, and that resolves the dredging problem for me. One way or the other, I'm going to take whatever I get. But, I mean, I would certainly hope that y'all would consider we've gone to all this trouble and give me 11 more feet channelward from what Ben has proposed will give me what I want. And that's not encroaching upon the channel. I mean, the buoys aren't stuck in the channel. He's already testified to that. And the Coast Guard wants to go 250 feet, and that's not going to happen. And I'm not going to sue anybody. I'll sign whatever the Corps wants to give them to go in and up to dredge the channel. I know that that channel is maintained. I mean, I've lived there all my life. Any questions
Mark,
y'all have?
If the commission goes with staff recommendation, will you want both sections?
I'm going to have to, but I would rather have it all one piece.
Honest,
yes, sir. I mean, that's what I apply for it a whole lot bigger than that. And
honest,
I'll take the, if he's going to go back and revise it again, I'll take that 11 feet, even if it cuts some off of what I originally applied for, as long as it makes it one continuous piece. That's what I hoped for from the beginning. I mean, like I told y'all, last day at 3:30 in the afternoon, somebody protested me applying for this grant, and that's the only reason I'm here. If that hadn't have happened, Ben would have never said anything about the way it was originally applied for, and I would have already had it. Thank you. I mean, any more questions? Anybody else?
Any other questions? Mr. Fox?
So which,
Mr. Fox, and then Mr. Tank.
If we grant it to you in two pieces, then you'd have to hand-tong that little triangle.
Yes, sir, and I'm 50 years old. I'm not young anymore. I mean, that might be young to some people, but that's not young. I mean, I would like to dredge it. It's a whole lot more efficient way of working the bottom. I mean, I would appreciate you giving me that 11 more feet. That's all it is 11 feet, and it can make it one continuous piece, and that lets me dredge that end and the other end like I want to dredge
and
it.
And you wouldn't even dredge the amount in between?
No, sir, I wouldn't dredge it. The little section that's in between there would be too narrow. I'd be too close to the other stake. Now, I can dredge it when the public season comes in.
Uh-huh, right.
I mean, like I've been doing, but it's not any oysters there. All the oysters, like I was explaining to you, are right here.
Yeah.
And then once you get from right along this mark back that way. But I'm trying to make it all one continuous piece so I could dredge both ends of the ground. That's all.
Mr. Tank.
So in testimony, what you're also saying to us is your common knowledge that oftentimes the setup that we have here in front of us, you see this oftentimes in your work where the channel is closer than it should be to leases around in the area that you work.
But like on these original ones, these are old leases. The battery did.
It's an old
this
pointer.
This lease that's in the channel, that blue dot to your left is, that's an old lease, and that was in the channel. And they didn't have this criteria then when that lease was taken up. That was Gail Hall's lease, and James West bought that. And that was an original lease back years ago, and that wasn't, the channel didn't matter back then. And really, in theory, all the channel is something for the boat to go in and out of at a depth, and it's small. There's oysters in the channels of all these channels in these creeks where I work at, up Smithfield, places like that. And I work there all the time, and I don't have any problem. If a boat's coming down the channel, a big enough boat, I move out of the way. If a small boat's coming down, he moves out of my way. I mean, that's how it works. But well, the oysters don't know where the channel is.
Any other questions?
I'm just making light of the situation. I would hope that y'all would give me that 11 feet there to make it all one continuous feet.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate your testimony. Anyone else wish to speak on this matter? Seeing none, the matter is before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a follow-up question for staff. And so if the lease were staked up, would it be inside the channel markers, the existing markers?
As proposed, no. As Mark proposes it, there would be one corner that would be slightly inside the line between those two.
Okay.
Just
thank you.
To clarify, you would not have administratively assigned this lease even without a protest because of this issue.
How long has the current policy been in effect?
Well, I've been here since 83. I think this is the way we've been doing it at least since 1983, as far as using existing markers. Actually, Rob will probably tell you that my predecessor, Gary Showalter, would tell him to not even go to the marker. Do not use a channel marker. Stay on the opposite side of the channel. And if you set a stake a foot off of it, not using the channel. But I apologize. Set a stake within a foot on the side of the channel, why not use the marker? You know that's going to be there.
Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up, I think the concerns that staff raised about just the public interest in terms of not wanting to go down the road of staking up leases inside the marked channel does raise a public safety concern related to navigation. What staff has recommended is that the two components of the lease be approved that are 1.54 and 7.67 acres. It also seems to me that if we were to, say, abandon that policy and lease that strip, then it's so thin that it would be impractical to enforce. I mean, it's a very narrow strip. So, you know, I think if we do it, we're asking for trouble. And frankly, I think the staff has weighed this issue pretty carefully and considered the input that they received also from the other agencies. And I would offer a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
You have a motion to accept staff's recommendation. Is there a second? Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Fox. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, ready to vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Staff recommendation is approved. Thank you.